I see lots of extended family, so I'm guessing there's some family celebrations, there's things going on, just like our family. We're coming back here for 6 p.m. tonight, and looking forward to that. I invite you guys to come as well. But sometimes, didn't Christmas just become about busyness? Don't you hate that? It just becomes about a task list, about things to do, knock out the gifts, be at the parties, do what you got to do, when you got to do it. And my prayer for all of us this year, and myself inclusive, is that we don't go through the motions. That it's not just some sort of routine that we're going through with Christmas. We know we're supposed to be at this house at this time, and this house at this time, and I got to get a present for this person, and this is what we do here. All those traditions are great. They're fantastic, but let's not go through the motions. Let's, in the midst of going through all of those traditions, let's remember why we do them. Part of it is because of what we celebrate today, and it's the gift of peace. The gift that we have of peace within ourselves, with each other, and ultimately with God. That's the portion of this we're going to be talking about today. For the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the gift of peace. And as we've seen, the biblical idea of peace, both the Hebrew word shalom and the Greek word eirene, are both kind of mean the same thing. It's a little different. For us, peace means quiet and absence of conflict. But the biblical idea of peace is one of completeness, of things being brought back into the way they were supposed to be in the first place, of something being whole. And so we've been building on that idea. We saw in week one, we talked about having peace with ourselves. Week two, we talked about peace with others, and today we'll be talking about peace with God. We are told that Jesus leads us into peace. He is called the Prince of Peace. If you notice, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, shortly after his child, saw what was God was up to. And he wasn't able to speak until that moment, and then he prophesies this. In Luke chapter 1, 78, he says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And so we've been unpacking that idea of peace. Christ came to give us peace. Like I said, that first week we talked about peace with ourselves. We saw what steals our peace. We saw several things: fear, worry, regret, discontent. All those things steal our peace. Even those of us who claim the name of Christ and say we are believers, those things can steal our peace. We followed the example of Mary getting peace back. We need to see who God is. We need to see who we are in God and then find our complete satisfaction in Him. We need to find our satisfaction in God and God alone. And so that's how we get that idea of inner peace. We'll see, it comes through God. Last week, we talked about having peace with others, and we saw a whole list of things that can mess up our peace with others, the things that we do to create conflict. What's interesting, that we'll see today, sin is what breaks our vertical relationship with God. It's also what causes messed up relationships horizontally with other people, with family, with friends, with neighbors, with the community, with strangers. We do all kinds of these things. We deceive, we're prideful, we don't respect others, we're greedy, we judge people, we lead others into sin, we don't have mercy. There's all kinds of things that lead us to break that relationship with each other. But part of the biblical call is to have peace with one another. And so restoring that peace we got from Romans chapter 12, we need to begin to authentically care for one another, delight in serving each other, seek to understand one another. Stop elevating ourselves and stop worrying about revenge and getting even. And then just all those unknowns that are swimming around when we try to control people and control situations, we just leave them to God. And just leave those to God and trust that He is going to be God. And so you see how we've talked about peace within yourself, peace with others, but both of them are foundational upon what we'll discuss today. And that's the idea of having peace with God Himself, a restored completeness. Not just an absence of conflict, but a restored completeness, a wholeness with God. And so really what we're talking about today is something we often summarize as the gospel. It's a message that you've heard often, hopefully. Maybe you haven't ever internalized it. Maybe you have. But that's really what peace with God is about, is this gospel message. You see, in the beginning was God, and God created everything that we see. We see evidence everywhere, including ourselves. He created us, and He created us with a purpose, for a relationship with Him, to be at peace with Him. He created us complete. with inside of us a relationship ready to work with him, to follow him, to serve him. But then something happened. We chose our own way. Humankind says, forget you, God. We can be our own gods. We can do things the way we want to do them. And we sinned and we walked away from God. We said, I know better than God knows. And so you know what that created in us? It created us in us this huge void, this big hole in our lives. It's just this emptiness, this empty feeling. And what we long for is God, but here's the problem, guys. You know what we try to fill it with? Just about everything else. We do relationships. We try to fill up that void with relationships. And if we can just find somebody who completes us, and it'll just be, we'll be one, and it'll be wonderful. And we know that falls short, doesn't it? That perfect person doesn't exist because there are no perfect people. And so a person does not complete you. We try things like success. We try to work as hard as we possibly can. And we try to make a name for ourselves. In fact, we try to prove that we in and of ourselves are complete. And we don't have this whole, if I just work hard, if I just make more money, then maybe that emptiness will go away. But it never does. It's never enough. It doesn't matter the title you accomplish. It doesn't matter how much wealth you accumulate. There's still this emptiness inside. Sometimes we try stuff. We try material possessions. We try to buy new things and fill the void that way. But the problem is, the next year, a new model comes out. And what does that highlight? It highlights our emptiness. The fact that that material good, that possession, never really filled it. Some people try substances. Now, it could be things like drugs and alcohol, but it also could be things like food. It could be things that we do just to try to numb the pain. To just try to move through things and try to forget that that's going away. And so we try to fill ourselves up with that. Sometimes it's entertainment. We believe, at least subconsciously, that if I just keep myself distracted enough, I can forget that the void is there. I can forget that there's this emptiness that needs filled. And so I'll watch TV, or I'll get into this movie series, or I'll read these books, or I'll play these games. And if I can just keep myself busy with those things and distracted in entertainment, then maybe I can forget. Then there's a whole other group of people who would disagree with everything that I have just said and say, we don't need something outside of us to complete ourselves. We don't have a void. Everything we have is in ourselves, and we don't need a God. We don't need something from the outside to complete us. And I would call that just denial. It's denial of the biblical truth that we see of this emptiness that we have inside. And then finally, some people would recognize that there is a void, and they believe it's the filling of some sort of God or something, and they do everything they can to fill it with ritual or religion. And so what I want you to see, even religion, even all of our practices, all the things that we do, unless something is filling you inside, that's going to be empty as well. Amen. Religious behavior is just emptiness. And so look at this list. All of these fall short. It turns out that hole inside of us can only be made complete by the very one who created us. That's what that hole is. That hole is turning away from God and doing things on our own. You see, what we desire, whether we recognize it or not, is to be with God again. And so what we celebrate at Christmas is the fact that we don't have to make amends. We don't have to take an action. God is the one who took action. Look at how John opens up his gospel. John chapter 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. This is Jesus he's talking about. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. I love how John opens up his gospel here. This is his version of the Christmas story. It's kind of on a cosmic level. It doesn't have all the details. He's basically just saying light is stepping into darkness. God is becoming human. And so you see, he's clearly describing Jesus. And the only one that can do anything about the hole in our lives is not us. It's God himself. And so God sent Jesus into our world. Look at verse 10 of that same chapter. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. The light stepping into the darkness. God becoming human. Why? Because he loves us. Notice how clearly John states this. The only thing that can restore our relationship with God is a relationship with Jesus Christ. He said they're reborn, not with physical plans, not physical passions. They're reborn spiritually. The only thing that can fill that void in our lives and give us a spiritual rebirth is Jesus Christ. He has come to give us peace with God. Let's pray, and then we'll take a look at what that gift means. Dear Heavenly Father, we come today seeking peace, seeking peace in our world. We watch, and it's definitely not peaceful. We seek peace within our families, within our communities. We seek peace within ourselves. And so as we reflect on this gift of peace, I pray that today you would show us it all starts with you and that relationship with you. And so God, lead us to maybe change something about the way we think or the way we feel or the way we act regarding peace in our lives today as we interact with your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So this is huge. As we look at this, we've been given a gift to take care of the very need that we have. That's the basics of the gospel message. So let's look at what this peace of God, peace with God is all about. And to do that, we're going to turn over to Romans chapter 5. And there, Paul does a good job of unpacking what peace with God looks like. And so let's take a minute to kind of unwrap that gift. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. The first thing I want you to see about the gift of peace with God. So this is an aspect of this peace that Jesus has come to give us. It's an absence of conflict. It's a completeness. But what I want you to see first, it's received by faith. That is very important. I want you to understand this is not automatic. Okay, we have all been created in the image of God according to Scripture. Every last human being, no matter race, no matter gender, all of it. All of us have been created in the image of God. But did you see what John said in his opening chapter? That only those who believe and have faith and trust are given the right to become children of God. So there's a difference there. We've all been created in the image of God, and we all have that void in our lives, but only those who come to faith in Christ are given the right to become children of God. And so this idea of peace is received because we believe. God sent his Son, a piece of himself, to reunite us to him. And so now Jesus fills that gap. And it's a belief and a trust in him. We are separated from God by sin, but we are reunited with God by faith in Christ. You ever had a family gathering where maybe everybody left, or maybe it was well after dinner and something like that, and you noticed that there was a gift that was left unwrapped or unopened? It was wrapped, maybe it made its way behind a recliner or something like that, or it slid under the couch, and maybe you discovered it even days later as you're putting things up. Sometimes that happens, and a gift goes unopened. And we have to consider that as we talk about this gift of peace with God, is it's been offered to you. And a lot of times we think that's part of that, and that is the giving of the gift. But what has to happen for the gift to be received? It has to be opened, right? I mean, maybe some of you will get a gift this week and go, oh, that's nice, and put it aside. Leave the wrapping on it, leave the bow on it. That's too pretty to mess up. And, you know, sometimes we do that in terms of our faith. We think that it's just an automatic thing. But what I want you to see is we have to unwrap this gift. We have to receive it. And so that begs the obvious question. Have you received this gift? Is this something that you have done in your life? Have you, every single one of you have been offered it. If you've never been offered it, you're going to be offered it today. This is God's word telling us what that gift was. And so don't let that gift go unopened. Receive it by faith. And as we've talked about here numerous times, faith is just not a mental knowledge. Faith is trust. Faith is putting your belief into something. It matters where that faith is, and the faith must be in Jesus Christ. Let's understand that gift more. Let's say we've come to faith in Christ. We believe that Jesus is the only one that can fill that void. All the other things have been worthless, but Jesus has come into our life. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The gift of peace with God, first of all, is received by faith, but second of all, one of the things it does in our life is gives us perspective. It gives us perspective. I mean, think about this on a cosmic scale, kind of like John, as he was opening up, talking about light coming into darkness. If God, the God of the universe, the creator of all the universe, created a way for us to know him, doesn't that say how much he cares about us? And then doesn't that give us meaning to our day-to-day lives? That new car doesn't do that, does it? That promotion you just got doesn't do that. That relationship doesn't do that. It is only peace with God, coming to faith in Christ, having that peace with God that can bring us this perspective. If there is something greater involved, if God is working in our lives, then maybe there's a reason we go through some of the things that we go through. All the pain and the struggles and the suffering and the heartache, they take on a different meaning. I had somebody tell me last week, she'd gone through a lot of physical struggles within the last year, all kinds of different things. And she said she was getting together with a group of friends and they found it astonishing that she continued to attend church through all this. It reminded me of Job's friends. They basically told her, don't you know, if all this stuff is going on, God hates you. That you can see all this stuff happening in your life. Why do you still go? Obviously, you're not getting anything out of church. It's not changing your life. And she said she responded in the same way I would have. That's the reason I go to church. I see God at work in my life even in the midst of all this pain, even in the midst of all of this suffering. Guys, when did we lose that idea? That suffering and heartache and things like means God hates us? That's not what Paul said. Once we have peace with God, we can rejoice too when we run into the problems and trials in life. Why? Because ultimately they point to where our confident hope is. When our body is breaking down, we know that we're not built to live just in this world, but built to live forever. When our finances aren't there, we're reminded who supplies for us. When our relationships aren't what they're supposed to be, we're reminded who loves us unconditionally. And that's what Paul is saying here. And all of the pain and struggles and heartache and suffering, they must take on a different meaning. They remind us that we are loved by God. In the midst of what we go through, it's a reminder that if we have peace with God, if we have peace with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, all that stuff happening in our life is not God's wrath. It's just the leftover consequences of living in a sinful world. It's not God's wrath. You have peace with God. Therefore, you can have perspective no matter what's happening on this planet. Let's see one more thing. So the gift of peace with God received by faith gives us perspective. Romans 5, 6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. So the gift of peace with God is received by grace. It gives us perspective. And here's a very important point. It's not something we deserve at all. That's what this passage was just saying. We don't deserve it. You know, that's another common misconception about Christianity that we get into. Not just that, okay, if bad stuff happens, God must not love you, which we've already seen is not true. But it's also a misconception that if I just become good enough, then I'll earn the right to get that gift from God, and then he'll present it. As if God is just waiting and watching and saying, well, here you go, here's your gift, you've finally been good enough. Let me say this as definitively as I possibly can. There is nothing in you that deserves to receive this gift. There is nothing in you that deserves to receive this gift. We created this hole in our lives. We pursue things other than God. We desire the temporary over the eternal. We think sinfully. We feel sinfully. We act sinfully. There is nothing we do that's redeeming enough to get us back to where God is. And so that's where I gotta kind of take on an icon of Christmas this morning, and I hope I don't hurt any feelings, but this big fat guy in a red suit with a beard. Got some problems with how he does things. You see, we hear that it's all about either you'll get a gift if you're what? Nice, but you won't if you're naughty. So you've got to try to make it onto the nice list and try to stay off of the naughty list. You know what? That's not even close to gospel. Not anywhere close. You know what the gospel is? Every single one of us made the naughty list. That's what Romans tells us. That's what the whole Bible tells us, is that we made the naughty list. And you go, well, that's mean. No, hear the rest of the story. And you got a gift anyway. It didn't matter that you were on the naughty list. You were given grace. You were given mercy. That's the gospel. This peace with God is something we absolutely do not deserve. We have done nothing to earn it. You can do nothing to try to get it back. We've messed it up. And so it's not worthy versus unworthy. That's not the gospel. It's not naughty or nice. None of us are worthy. And yet we were given this gift. In spite of not being worthy, look at what Paul says in verses 10 and 11. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. So the gift of peace with God is received by faith. It gives us perspective. It's something we didn't deserve. And most importantly, it restores our relationship with God. It doesn't just justify our sin, but it makes us adopted sons and daughters. It's what John chapter 1 said. It gives us the right to become sons and daughters of God. We become adopted children of his, restored back to the very relationship for which we were created. That's where you get that completeness. That's where that peace comes from. It's not just the absence of God's wrath. That's a good thing. But it's also the idea of peace making us complete, that when we come back to Christ, we come back to God through Christ, peace once again makes us friends of God. It restores that relationship that was once there, the relationship for which we were created. All of this is possible only because of Jesus. Because of him coming, because of him dying, and because of him resurrecting. That's what enables this peace with God. And guys, that is a gift. I know it's a bit cliched, and you hear it every year, that Jesus is the best gift. Jesus is the greatest gift. That's why I started with the idea, let's not go through the motions. Forget the cliche, and let's actually acknowledge that Jesus is the greatest gift that's ever been given. Because it restores peace with our Creator. And so I guess my lingering question for you is, have you received this gift? Have you received this gift in your life? And I don't want you to just nod and smile because you walked an aisle when you were a kid or because you prayed a prayer. Just really say, okay, have I accepted this gift? Have I received this gift in my life? We teach the kids in Sunday school and Bible school here that it's simple as A, B, C to receive this gift. Number one is, or A, is to admit Just admit that there is this incompleteness in your life that's caused by your sin. Stop pretending that it's not there. Stop trying to fill it with all kinds of other stuff. And just acknowledge that, yes, there is this hole in my life that is God-shaped. I've tried everything else to fill it. I keep messing up and messing up and messing up. There is nothing that seems to fit. Then B, after A, admit. B, believe that Jesus is what fits in there. Believe that he's the answer to that. Believe that that is the answer that's come from God, not a human-generated answer. That's every other world religion is man reaching for God, but what we see in the Bible is God reaching for man through Jesus Christ. Believe that he's the answer to that, not just in your head, but know it with your heart and trust in him. So A, admit, B, believe, and then C, confess. In other words, make it known. Confess that Jesus is in your life. Confess that he is your Savior. Confess that he is your Lord. Now, we call that being born again or being saved or being a Christian or being a believer. There's all kinds of terminology. But the point is that this time in life when you say, you know what, I recognize this hole. I believe Jesus can do something about it. And therefore, I'm going to confess that I am a follower of Christ. Now, A and B you can do in the privacy of your own heart. But C means making a confession public and saying, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to do that today if you never have. You can do that a couple of different ways. You can walk this aisle, and not because there's anything magic about this aisle or there's anything happening up here, but to just be able to make that public and say, I've admitted, I've believed, and now I want to confess. I want to confess that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not quite ready for that. If that's the case, I encourage you to grab that Connect card in front of you and just let us know on that card. We'll follow up with you, and when the time is right, you can say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and you can follow him in baptism, and you can make that public. Even if you're not from here and you're just visiting, and that's something you want followed up with, I encourage you to fill out that card and drop it in for us. So no matter what that looks like, whether it's walking up or filling out that card, have you opened that gift? Don't let it sit over behind the recliner or get swept under the couch. Grab that gift and open it up because it's the best one that you've ever been given. Peace with God. You don't deserve it, but here it is. That's what we receive from Christ. That's what we receive from God as a gift. We couldn't do it on our own. He did it for us. So we're going to have kind of a double response time today. One of the responses we're going to take is commemorating the sacrifice that this baby made. Because I think that's what we kind of have to project forward, that this baby becomes a man that goes from all this talk of peace to this incredibly violent imagery of him being crucified on a cross and dying for us. And then the celebration of him raising 3 days later. That's what we commemorate when we take this today. But here's the thing. Before we do that, I want to give you a chance to make sure you're right with God. Maybe that means coming to Christ for the first time. Maybe that means confessing some sin in your own heart, repenting, saying, you know what? I've confessed Christ. I admitted, believed, confessed years ago, decades ago. But I still fill that void with substances, with stuff, with success, with relationships, with entertainment. I fill that void with all kinds of other stuff. So God, forgive me for putting idols in front of you. You need to be the center of my life. You need to be the one filling that. So whatever that response looks like, may we stand up together today and declare as we sing this song that there's nothing else in the world that can fix this problem that we have other than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing together.